A cup. A cup. A cup is a container, either temporary or permanent, that holds a substance of value. Have you ever felt the frustration of trying to drink water from a tap by cupping your hands and realizing that by the time your hands reach your mouth, the water has already fallen through the cracks in your fingers? Without a cup, we would have no way to collect what is needed for our survival, and we would be thirsty and dry. Rumi reflects on this in a poem. He says, "We have a huge barrel of wine, but no cups. That's fine with us. Every morning we glow, and in the evening we glow again. They say there's no future for us. They're right, but that's fine by us." A world without cups would be a world without sharing. In Rumi's poem, "Without cups," this wine, this heavenly substance that's contained in our souls, cannot be poured and offered beyond ourselves. The disciples are walking with Jesus toward Jerusalem. It says that they are afraid. They have just heard this one that they have grown to love and trust. Once again, he told them he will die. And they are walking toward Jerusalem, the place where Jesus would suffer. Jerusalem, where Jesus' human life would be offered, a model for us, the way of humility, the way of weakness before powerful institutions, the way of incredible love. Jerusalem, that place where Jesus as God would identify with our human pain. Jerusalem, the place where Christ would self-empty. Jerusalem, the place where death would be transformed into life. They were on their way and they were afraid. Well, I would be. The thought of losing something good or someone that I love is profoundly unsettling. So, like us, in this moment, when the truth of a situation is hard for us to take in, we project things, don't we? Fantasies, desires, dreams, to try and escape what is before us. And so James and John imagine greatness, imagine success, imagine privilege, because anything is better than thinking about their friend suffering. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And Jesus replies, "What is it you want me to do for you?" Let's pause the narrative for just a moment. I want you to imagine that James and John were, in fact, holding a cup that was symbolic of their inner lives, their hearts, their souls. And I want you to imagine that you hold one, and I hold one also. And sometimes it seems that our cup is brimming and overflowing, like the imagery of Psalm 23. "You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And sometimes it feels like the cup is empty, that we have drained it to its very dregs. We've perhaps had to drink the cup of suffering, walking the way of pain, of loneliness, of illness, of sorrow. And Henry Nouwen puts it so well when he says, drinking this cup of life means that we take in our unique experiences of both joy and suffering intermingled together. So take a moment now to sit with your cup. Imagine you are holding it carefully in your hands. Reflect, what is in your cup? Let's take a moment. Now hear the words of Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? As I ponder on my cup, I am constantly realizing how much flux I am in. That my life energy inside varies and changes from moment to moment. Just know that in this community, whatever the cup you are holding, there is room for you right now. But our narrative continues, and James and John now ask of Jesus what they think they need. And they believe that they need privileged status, sometimes affirmation and admiration temporarily fills our cups. They ask to sit at Jesus' left and at his right. I remember a wise mentor telling me once when I was working in academia, Sharon, your cup needs to be filled. You are running on empty. You cannot keep on giving without a rhythm of replenishment. You see, like James and John, I was running after affirmation and recognition. And I would go to whoever was there and ask them to fill my cup. And they could put poison in my cup, or they could put the choicest of wine. And I was trusting everyone the same. We need to learn who to offer our cups to for filling. And James and John offer their cups to Jesus, hoping that he will fill it with admiration and affirmation. But instead, he gives them a more valuable gift. He offers them his cup, the cup that Jesus is holding. It is a strange cup. It is a cup that has mixed wine in it, foaming with spices. Later in the upper room, Jesus will refer to this cup as the cup of his life blood, mixing two Jewish metaphors, where wine was known as the blood of grapes, a sign of friendship and unity, of sisterhood and brotherhood, of people together. Mixing wine with the symbol of human blood, which was the symbol of life energy. And what Jesus offers us is a cup of deep purpose, of deep meaning, of vocation for the sake of our world. He invites James and John to drink his cup, and he invites you and me to do the same, to pour our lives out, to pour our energy out, not for our own sakes, but for the well-being of others, for the sake of the very life of our world. You will remember on July 25th at our very warm induction service here, that the Reverend Jessica Sharp preached on this same passage, just Matthew's version of it. And she addressed us as the St. Catherine's community, and she asked the question, Are you able to drink the cup? The cup that she said was our unique purpose, our life energy poured out here in the Edgemont village. And we answered, we are able with God's help. Do you remember? I remember. So I've been thinking about this purpose, this cup that Christ has given us uniquely to drink here. And as I've read through Janet Morris's book about our parish, and I've pondered the words of David Somerville in the foreword where he wrote, this parish, it's a group of people. Here we are together, learning what it means to be a people of God in this place. That was 1948, when the property of here on Ridgewood Drive was acquired. They had $500 in the bank, and it sounds like a lot back then, but it still wasn't enough. Because is there ever enough money to build? But the people gathered. They gathered because they were determined to drink the cup of their vocation in this place. The neighborhood was growing and rapidly developing. There was need for a church, for people to pour out Christ's life and love into the community. And people, in 2018, Edgemont Village is growing and rapidly developing. Families with young children are moving in. Amica is here as a haven for seniors. Townhouses are going up. And we have a barrel of wine. It is the choicest of wine. Christ's love. Christ's companionship, Christ's sustenance for us in tough times. And we, you and I, are the cups. We are the vessels. We are the only way to share the wine. Stewards. And we do it in this parish. We do. We pray. We welcome. We greet. We count. We make coffee. We fold bulletins. And we do it in the wider Edgemont community too, wherever you will take your photo over the next few weeks. As people who follow Christ, giving is our way of life. Self-emptying that is modeled by Christ. So as we've looked at our cups, we realize that our cups are always in a perpetual state of being emptied and filled, of being filled in order to be emptied, in order to be poured out for the sake of our world. And so the invitation before us, where is Christ asking you to pour out your life energy, your gifts, your money, your life? For what we do in our days is what we do in our lives. Where are you called to offer your cup? Amen.